Kenny Bernstein joins us on Sports Byline USA. Of course, that is a name synonymous with motor racing and success, NHRA driver and also team owner. And Kenny is the only owner in motorsports history to have owned teams that have won in three major motorsports categories, kart, NASCAR, and NHRA. And he has announced, and I'm going to read from the announcement, six-time NHRA champion Kenny Bernstein has turned the final page and closed the book on his career as a competitor and NHRA racing team owner, saying, "My wife Cheryl and I have come to a place in our lives where we want to pursue other interests. We have poured our hearts and souls into motorsports for over 30 years. It's time to enjoy life." That is always a difficult decision to make, Kenny. Walk me through the decision on your part.
Well, you're right. Obviously, Ron, it is, and especially after 32 years of doing this. But the last couple of years, I've been thinking about it pretty hard. Cheryl and I have talked about it, and it really boils down to a couple of things. Just like I said there, it's time to do something different. Number one, I didn't enjoy the racing the last couple of years like I used to. I enjoyed watching Brandon and all that, and the Copart people were great. But me going to races after all this period of time and Cheryl got to be even more of a grind, and so I wasn't enjoying it. That's number one. I think that's the most important thing. Secondly, we're fortunate to have great health at this stage of our lives, and we want to be able to do some things physically that somewhere down the line we will not be able to do, and just didn't want to give that up at this stage. So it just seemed like that this was the best time to pull the plug and get on with it and go from there. And it, as you say, it is a life-changing thing, but that's the way it is.
You know, you're always a forward-thinking person, and that's one of the things I've always respected about you, Kenny. And also in your announcement, you say there's certainly a great deal of sadness in coming to terms with the end of an era and some concern about whether or not you can run a life at 300 miles per hour and then come to a sudden stop.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to keep up with you, though, buddy, still. it's certainly going to be different. But you know, in the last few years, we have basically taken it a step back from 300. There's no question. We still travel and go to the races. But our daily stuff and our weekly stuff when there's no racing is pretty easier than it ever has been. Cheryl works probably harder than I do, to be honest, and I'm glad for her more than anything else.
Which was more difficult for you, being a driver or being a team owner?
Team owner by far, Ron, by far. I never enjoyed being a team owner, and even though my son Brandon was in there and I was very proud and am very proud of him, it was difficult. I think once you've been a player, as they say, once you've been a driver, it's very difficult to step out and stand on the sidelines. And I understand totally why Brett Favre went back three or four times. I understand why Michael went back. I understand all that because it's very difficult to walk away from your passion, your love, and what you enjoy doing. And all the hard work of racing and all the thing we put into it was always the icing on the cake was getting in the car and getting to compete. And once that was gone, it became much more difficult. It wasn't a lot of satisfaction of being an owner, just strictly an owner.
Also, was it the fact that when you were in the cockpit of the car, you had a little more control over the ultimate outcome as compared to being an owner and having to watch somebody else drive the car?
No, I don't know so much about that. I think it was just a loss of the feeling of driving a race car, going fast, and competing. I think that was more important than anything, and the chance to win and have that wonderful feeling at the end of a Sunday afternoon that you had conquered that weekend's racing program and won the race. I think that was more to it than anything else because Brandon's a quite qualified, great driver, and that wasn't the issue. It was just what I felt inside.
Let me go back to the 60s. That's when this all started for you.
I can't remember that far. What are you talking about?
And what was it that bit you about this sport, about driving cars fast?
Well, I've always said from day one that if I'd grown up in the South in Charlotte or Atlanta or somewhere down there, I'd have probably been in NASCAR from the beginning because it was cars. And in Texas, in West Texas, we didn't have the exposure to NASCAR or anything else other than drag racing. That's what we did as kids, and hot rods were what we did as kids. So I was pretty much stuck in the environment, so to speak, and was never exposed to the other side. So drag racing became the passion because that's what was available. And like I said, if it had been a different type of racing and perhaps Indianapolis or the South, I think it would have been one of those two by all means. Because it didn't matter to me. It's racing and it's cars. That's all I cared about.
Take me back to the Texas Pro Fuel Circuit.
Well, you know, my memories back there are really, really vivid. There are some memories I don't remember as good as others nowadays, but those I do. Tremendous amount of racing in Texas and in Oklahoma, Louisiana, all over the states, those three or four states, and Arkansas. And we had a circuit that we ran, and many times there was a ton of cars there, 30, 40 cars going for eight spots, sometimes 16, a lot of California cars. The first three races that I ever went down the quarter mile with in competition were against three of the stars of the sport at that time, and I cut my teeth on that pretty quick. It was the Ram Chargers and Leroy Goldstein. It was Tom Hoover and his car, and it was Dwight Salisbury and the Beach Boys car from California. And when I pulled up against those guys, I was just a young pup, buddy, trying to do battle with the world's best.
How would you describe the people that were involved in the sport back in the 60s?
Well, I think most of us were, it was a hobby for us. Most of the guys worked and did other jobs. All the guys except the ones from California, they had already figured it out how to not have to work and go racing. So they were ahead of us. But the rest of us were working during the week. We'd jump in the carryall with an open trailer on Friday evening and head out to wherever we're going, whether it was Amarillo or Odessa or Baton Rouge, Louisiana, or Oklahoma City, wherever it may be. And we'd race on Saturday and Sunday and drive back Sunday night and go to work Monday morning. That's what we did, and that's the way it all started.
What was the fans like? What were they like back then, and what were the tracks and the atmosphere around racing night?
Well, obviously much, much smaller than they are today, of course. I mean, it was the beginning of this whole thing. The fans were still great because our sport always allowed the fans in the pit area from day one, so you always had the fans that were right there by your car working. In those days, we didn't have hospitalities. We didn't have ropes to keep people away. They were just right there watching us. So it all kind of started, but it was really fun in those days because it wasn't a business in the sense of the word. Not that it wasn't fun later, but in those days, it was truly a hobby for us in the beginning.
1974, you walked away from the sport and went into private business. Why did you do that, Kenny?
Well, I just couldn't compete with the big boys. We didn't have the money back in Texas. I was driving for a couple of people. Then I decided to do it myself with Ray Alley, put me in business with his car. He was tired of driving and racing, so he gave me his car. But we just couldn't compete in the sense of the word with, in those days, Tom McEwen, Don Perdome, all those guys that were there in the funny car category. And I just finally said to myself, it's time to grow up and go to work, and that's what I decided to do.
It was back in 1979 when you won your first NHRA national event. Athletes always remember their first home run, first touchdown catch. Take me through your first win.
Well, you're right. We don't forget those. None of us do. I don't think that's the case. It was a Wednesday night in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It was a Wednesday because the Sunday race had been rained out, so we finished it up on Wednesday, and we won the first couple of rounds, and in the final round, we raced a kid by the name of John Force, and John Force was sponsored by Wendy's Hamburgers. We called him Cheeseburger in those days, and we raced each other, and that was both our first finals, and we went on to win that first one, which was fantastic, and I remember just like yesterday.
You know, you talked about money and how important that was and being able to compete, and it was in 1980 that you hooked up with Budweiser, with the Budweiser King Funny Car, and that sponsorship went on for some 30 years. Tell me a little bit about the development of that relationship and how important it was to Kenny Bernstein over those 30 years.
Well, it meant everything for us. It's the reason we are where we were today. Budweiser came on in a very low category, $1 in 1980, but it enabled me to make a decision at that time of my life. I always wanted to go racing and do it as a profession, and I was able to make that decision then to do that, sell my restaurant pubs, get rid of those, sold them to my vice president and another gentleman that was a part of the package with me then, and walk away and go racing full-time. And I decided to give it a year or two and see how it would go. And fortunately, it just grew and grew. And with great personnel around us in 1980 and then 82, 3-4 with Dale Armstrong, Ray Alley, all these people, we just kept getting better. And our sponsorship kept growing with Budweiser, and the sport kept growing. So consequently, Budweiser was tickled because it was helping them sell beer. But I owe everything those first 30 years to Dan Brown, the wholesaler in Austin, Texas. He's the one that opened the door for me in St. Louis with Budweiser. He even went up there with me on the very first trip to make sure that I got to talk to the right people at the top and cut through all the red tape. Took a long time to talk them into it, and it was a very, very low-dollar deal in the beginning. I had about 15 wholesalers across the country participating where we were racing, and we would do things for them. So I can't say enough about those people. They enabled us to carry this on for many, many years. And then, of course, the last couple of years, Copart has been wonderful. They've been a great sponsor.
We got about 20 seconds before we have to break, but you think about that corporate relationship with them. How strong was it? What was the strength of that relationship?
Well, it lasted 30 years. I think that speaks for itself. I don't know of anything. It's, you know, very seldom does things last that long. We went through a lot of Budweiser personnel through those years that came and went and moved to different brands and up the ladder, et cetera, et cetera. But I think it was a strong one for them and for us. We were family. Augusta Bush and August the 3rd and 4th both were great friends of mine and great part of our family. So it just grew into something very, very, very special. And I can't leave out the fans during this time either. So it's been phenomenal with the fans.
Kenny Bernstein is with us. We're going to talk about his career as we continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show.